Welcome to Is This Real Life? A Bravo podcast that relates our favorite shows to our own lives and the world around us. I'm your host, Mandy Slutsker. Let's get to it. Hey, real lifers, welcome to episode 160. I cannot believe I've done 160 of these podcasts. Thank you all so much for listening. I'm so excited about this week's guest, Amanda Page from It's All Happening. She is so fantastic, and we get really into Salt Lake and Beverly Hills and a little bit of Potomac. Well, this week has been absolutely hilarious in so many ways. We've got Kathy Hilton exiting Craig's restaurant in West Hollywood wearing a tablecloth. And I don't know why. This just like makes me laugh. I find it so funny. And she gives the explanation. She said she was doing an event with her daughters and she was wearing a wool dress and she got really overheated. And when it was over, she went to eat dinner at Craig's and she took out her hair extensions and she took off the wool dress and decided to, I guess, put on a like tablecloth that her friend designed into what looked like a pretty cute outfit. That woman. And I know a lot of people were critiquing that she, on this week's episode, called what appeared to be an assistant or someone who worked for her the lady. But I actually was wondering if she called the woman the lady because that person didn't want to be on camera and didn't want to have their name on camera. Because if you look back, both when her and Kyle, when they were trying to figure out what was going on with her bag and the phone and stopping on the 405 and having the lady bring it to them and get it in the car, they never showed the person who brought the bag and the phone. So that's sort of my kind of thinking on it. But, you know, she also could just be extremely aloof and not remember the names of people who work for her. That is definitely possible. Another thing that made me howl with laughter this week is Giselle teaching Grace how to drive in that Mini Cooper. Oh my God. Those scenes were just so funny. It reminded me so much of when I was having my learner's permit and my parents wouldn't take me out to drive before I met with someone who was like assigned from the state to take you on, I don't know, like to teach you. And when I grew up in Minnesota, you had to do like 30 hours or something of behind the wheel with a certified instructor. And a certain number of those hours had to also be in winter and at night. And my parents like didn't want to take me before I went with the instructor, which most people's parents did, especially the lakes freeze over in the winter and people like go out on the lake with their kid and it's like, okay, this is how you drive. This is how you stop. This is how you park. This is how you turn. But my parents wouldn't do it. So the first time I was with this instructor, I remember we got to a four-way stop sign and he's like, okay, make a tight right turn. And so I thought what that meant was you just turn the car, the wheel all the way to the right, and then you stepped on the gas. And instead, I ended up over the curb and actually crashed into the stop sign. It was pretty embarrassing and yeah, so I definitely related to that scene. Something else that was just so crazy was everything that was going on between Sutton and Lisa Rinna while Sutton was on Watch What Happens Live. So she came out and said, you know, Lisa's always saying that she wants a thank you from Garcelle, but I invited her to Elton John's gala and she sat at my table and she never thanked me. And it turns out that the seats at her table were $10,000 each. So it sounded like Sutton had purchased a table for the gala and then she could choose who would sit at her table. But Lisa maintains that Harry Hamlin and her were asked by Elton John to attend. And it did look like Harry did donate to what I'm assuming is the Elton John AIDS Foundation. But this whole back and forth is just like, this is exactly the kind of petty drama I love about Housewives. And I just, the whole thing, I would love if someone, if any listener knows a lot about these galas and sort of how celebrity wrangling works with fundraising, to be able to reach out to me and explain kind of how this all works, because I feel like neither one of them are lying. They're both telling the truth, but I feel like there's some sort of missed communication between the two of them. And it's also just interesting to hear how these things work and how they actually make money for charity. Another thing that made me laugh this week was Whitney on Salt Lake City. First of all, her talking just so earnestly about wanting her company, Iris and Beau, to be a billion-dollar company is like, that's exactly the kind of delusion that I want to see on these shows. It's like very few people create billion-dollar companies, let alone something that sells products for which there is a very competitive market. And then when she proceeded to show producers what robotic sex with her husband Justin looked like during a confessional, I'm like, this woman. It was so funny. You know, I just really enjoy laughing at these shows. And I'm hoping that when Vanderpump Rules comes back this week, that it will be funny and interesting and authentic. But I'm a little nervous. I talked to Amanda about this. I'm not sure, you know, season 9 with mostly the same cast and some people who have left, like, are we going to get kind of what we want out of this show, which is both humor and drama and just watching real life friendships? And I just think with Stassi and Kristen and, you know, Jackson, Brittany not on the show, those are these people's real friends. And so, like, what are we watching if we're watching them only interact with people that they're forced to in the friend group? I don't know. And I'm not saying that Jackson, Brittany should be back on the show or anything like that. It's just, I'm a little bit skeptical. I'm a little nervous. You all know this is like the show that really got me into Bravo and reality TV. I mean, for God's sakes, my dog's name is Stassi. So I don't want it to disappoint. But we'll be very interested to hear all of your reactions when it premieres this week, if you guys are watching it. All right. You guys are going to love the episode this week with Amanda Page, who is my voice twin. Everyone says that we sound the same. She is so incredible. I love her so much. And she will be back on the podcast in a few weeks as I do one episode really focused on Vanderpump Rules. The rest will all be mainly Housewives. As always, if you enjoy the episode, please go give it a 5-star rating and write a kind review. I love seeing them. And be sure to follow me on social media at Mandy Slutsker on Twitter and Instagram. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then back with Amanda.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. I am here with Amanda Page from the It's All Happening podcast, and you all know her for her wonderful Instagram page, It's All Happening X. How's it going?
Hi, Mandy. I'm so excited to be here at the Mandy and Amanda show.
I know. I remember when we first recorded maybe a year ago, everyone told me that your voice was similar to mine.
It's so funny because we don't have the same dialect. Like, we live in the same area now, but there are certain words that are completely different just because of like where you come from. So it is interesting that people think we sound alike. I don't mind it though. I like
your
voice.
I don't mind it either. So you are here to talk about Housewives. I know you watch like a bunch of other shows and do some amazing recapping, including of the new Gossip Girl and a bunch of other things that I am not hip enough to follow. but I am also plugging that I will have Amanda back in a few weeks to recap the first, I think, three episodes of Vanderpump Rules, because I'm yes. afraid I won't have time to go through it in every podcast, but you and I both are huge fans of Vanderpump Rules.
Yes, and I'm so excited. When we booked this podcast, we didn't have the date for the Vanderpump premiere. So as soon as I found out it was coming out soon, I'm like, wait, we got to get another thing on the books because we have to talk Vanderpump Rules. I don't know my plans yet for covering it on my podcast. So I think I'm just going to use this opportunity to like just guest around and talk about it everywhere else. I think that's my plan.
I really like the show, but I don't have high hopes for it being an incredible season. Mainly just because I don't know what we're going to get. I feel like they all know what's needed from them. And so they manufacture issues that maybe aren't really there. And that, you know, you can feel it. And so I feel like while Summer House is on the up and up and like Winter House is coming, I'm super excited. I'm definitely going to cover those. I'm not entirely sure about Vanderpump. They have to win me back.
I know. I'm a little nervous because last season we had a lot of issues with the newbies, not really their storylines, not really flowing with the OGs, and a lot of people complaining like, we don't care about these new people. We don't want anything to do with them. And most of them are going to be gone. But then of course, a lot of newbies or a lot of OGs aren't coming back. So it just feels like there might be sort of a gap. And I haven't heard much about the new people. Allegedly, we were getting a lot of new people, but they're not really in any of the promotional stuff. So very curious about that. Can't wait to find out.
Yeah, should be interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, let's dive into winter. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. We've got two episodes under our belt. How are you feeling about this season?
I'm loving this season so far. I still haven't made up my mind about where I fall with some of the disagreements and things like that. So I think that's the mark of like a good opening of the season. Like, I feel like my mind can change. I'm loving the cast makeup. I think it's perfection. And while Meredith, I think last season was a little bit disengaged, I think she's definitely come to be more engaging this season. So I feel like everyone there has like earned their spot at this point, and I'm just really into it.
Do you think the issues that she's raising with Jen about Jen liking and retweeting homophobic type things about Brooks is because that was actually happening in real time? Or do you think she's like holding on to it from a couple months to like go in and go after Jen with that?
So based on the timing, because they keep talking about 2 months ago, I think basically the reunion happened and then 2 months later is when they started filming. I think that's not that much time passed. And if they haven't seen each other, I can see some of that lingering. But it feels like because Jen never really apologized for her role in that or even acknowledged if it wasn't her, it was someone who was supposed to be acting as her who did it. And so she didn't really... I don't think that she really owned up or took accountability for that. I think it's hard for Meredith to move past it. And I've said this before, like, I totally get that Brooks should be in the mix. He's put himself in the mix. He's fair game in terms of us talking about him. In terms of Jen saying what she thinks about his opinions, I think is totally valid for the show because he's put himself in the situation. But for Meredith, like, as his mom, like, I can just see that is something she's probably not going to get over. I'm not a parent yet. And I'm not definitely not a parent to like a whole grown person, but I know that my parents would murder someone if they were talking badly about me. Like, they would never be friends with someone again who was liking those things. Or even if she's not doing it, whoever she's paying to run her social media is doing that for her. So,
yeah, it's rough.
She should hire new people.
I don't buy that she's paying all these people to run her social media. I think she is someone that lives off of talking to random strangers online to like get some sort of like, as a narcissist does, to like feel better about herself and feel loved. And she will share things with people online to try and make them feel like they're special. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, I'm telling you this, don't tell anyone, but I'm telling you. And I think all the women know it. I mean, I've gotten messages from her and I have a very small account. And it was only after publishing. I loved when she had the Biden-Harris signs into a dress. I thought that was a really cool photo and I liked it. So I was excited about it. I don't know. And yeah. She just started like messaging me and I'm like, this is her. It felt like her. It didn't feel like it was just some social media person running her social media.
Right.
You know, and from what I know from like what Cece's told me and other people, like she will share things and she will, I don't know, it's messed up and it's messy. And I think Heather knows that. And that's why Heather is like, I've got screenshots. This is you.
Right. Right. And I feel like it's pretty manipulative. Like I will say, I try not to fall trap to housewives, like trying to get on my good side. She did reach out to me one time because I was speaking out about Hannah and Paige from Summer House and the issues that they were having in their Facebook group. And she's, you know, because they were having issues with people being racist in their Facebook group and they weren't doing anything about it. Not that they themselves were saying anything problematic, but that they were like allowing the moderators to do these things. And Jen actually reached out about my posts and said, thank you for saying this. Like, this is horrible, you know? And then I took that opportunity to then say, hey, thank you for your support. And then I said, I wanted to talk to you about something I've seen that you've said online that I kind of had an issue with. And I was very nice about it, but I pointed it out and then she never responded. And I was like, okay. So like, she's not actually willing to hear people who are critiquing her. And I was doing it in a very kind way. Like I was really honestly trying to get her to understand why people had an issue with the things that she was saying online. And that told me everything I needed to know about her. I was like, okay, I'm not even going to bother with you. If you like, it just felt very fake to me.
Well, it reminds me of Erica and that you can only listen to people that agree with you and support every single thing that you do. And I think what we're seeing in some of the audience is people looking at these things and saying, well, that's not what friendship is. That's blind loyalty. That's not friendship. Friendship is being able to ask questions. Friendship is being able to, you know, call your friends out and say, hey, that wasn't cool. But it's interesting. Some people seem to still have this sort of middle school definition of friendship, is what I call it, where you support me regardless of what I do. I can do no wrong. And that's just not how things are. I don't know.
No. I don't think, and I consider myself a ride or die friend. I really do. But what that means is I'm going to support you however that may look. Whether that means I'm going to be giving you tough love or just straight love, like it's going to be love, but it's going to be what you need. So if somebody is making a mistake, I'm not going to just go along with what they're doing. Or if I think they're treating someone badly, I'm not going to just be like, well, you're my best friend, so I'll let you treat someone like crap. No, I will be your friend, but to do that, I'm going to acknowledge if you're doing something horrible. Like I will call you out. And if you turn into someone who's super toxic, I'm not going to just die for you. Like that's not actual friendship. You have to look out for yourself too. And I feel like Heather has like fallen on the sword for Jen and it's just sad.
It's weird to me the way she describes her friendship with Jen, because she's like, when she tells me like these things, like I believe it, you know, I feel drunk off her friendship juice. It's like this woman is intoxicating to you. And I think that says a lot about Jen and her powers, because she uses her powers of being what I think is very, you know, people like her, they're drawn to her. And she manipulates people. And she, I think, manipulates business partners. I think she manipulates family members. I mean, what did she have to say to get her aunt to go on TV and show her two legs that had been amputated.
That was so rude. Like, it was just, it was too much. It's one thing to have her on and you can talk about in your talking head, like, oh, it's so important for me to have my auntie here because, you know, she went through this major surgery, and like, you know, talk about that, or even talk about that with her aunt on the screen. But to be like, oh, here you are. Oh, let's show everyone your legs. I was like, what is wrong with you? Like, that was so gross to me.
Everything about her family feels off. Like, every single thing. When they had that scene with them all together, it seemed like they barely knew each other and never got together before, and are probably like, what house are we in? Why did we have to drive all the way to Park City? Like, this isn't where you live. Like, you know, they probably just like, what the hell is going on? I was also really confused by her situation with her nephew, Dwayne, who I think is from Sharif's side, and how he called her asking for help. And she's like, and I didn't call him back. It's like, so call your uncle, you know, the one who Jen is married to.
Right. That is weird that he didn't call Sharif. That is really interesting. Or maybe he did. Maybe Sharif also didn't listen to him. It was interesting because when I was talking to Nimade, she runs the Instagram account, That African Butterfly. We did a recap last week of Salt Lake City, or earlier this week. I'm not even sure. I can't even remember my days anymore. But she was wondering how well the Sharif and Jen actually knew him before. Like, was it a situation where they had been really close and then she kind of was too busy to acknowledge him? Or did he see her on TV and think, oh, here's a relative of mine that might be able to help me, and reach out? And she's kind of like, no, I don't even know you. I'm not going to do anything about this. And then after she had a bad edit, she may have like reconsidered after a bad season, like how could this could help her image in some way? Like, did she reach out to him to help him because she realized that like, she wasn't really playing, like going over well with fans? And I was like, that's an interesting approach, like thought. I don't know the right answer.
Oh, I hadn't even considered that. So then we see her later in the episode, you know, she calls Heather and they get together in some sort of like outdoor igloo type.
Yeah. I felt like I was watching Frozen. It was like Elsa and Anna like coming together. I was like, this is wild.
That it looked fun. I was like, I want to go somewhere with ice and have a fire. Like, who is catering to them? Where do you order? Is it one of those things where you like take your phone and you get a QR code and you're like, can I have a frozen churro?
I know. I was really confused by that. And then I was confused why Stu was there and then he just disappeared. Like,
do you think we won't then see Stu after everything goes down?
Probably not. I'm sure they're not supposed to communicate with. I don't know if that's true, but they probably aren't supposed to be working together at this point in the, you know, I'm sure her lawyers would advise against them like coming together.
I think they two sets of lawyers. Like, I think they each are handling it quite differently legally.
Yeah. I don't know a lot about the case. I'm not like an expert, but I have heard that he might be cooperating and kind of pinning things on her.
Interesting. I've heard that as well. And, you know, him cooperating doesn't mean he's going to get off scot-free. It means less jail time, but still jail time. I believe there is almost no scenario in which Jen Shah does not serve time in federal prison.
I mean, if they are guilty of what they are being accused of, they should absolutely go to jail. Like, this is horrible. Her and Erica, the thing about both of these situations that are different than any other tax or fraud situation that we've heard about on Housewives is like, these are from legit people, like victims. It's not like defrauding a bank, which is also not okay. I'm not saying Joe Giudice is an angel, but I'm just saying he was defrauding a bank and the government. It's a little bit different than defrauding like senior citizens and orphans and widows. You know, it's just different. It's a different situation. So
totally. And someone reached out to me this past week and was like, because I was saying that the scenario with Jen is just so much more serious than with Erica because it is a criminal complaint and because it's in federal court. And Erica's right now is a bankruptcy case. There's nothing criminal about it. And I think the person was thinking that I was drawing judgments at like which one is worse, meaning like the crime. And I'm like, no. It's just one is a crime and one hasn't been determined to be a crime. But things can be both ethically wrong and morally wrong and just awful. But the difference with Jen is it wasn't her husband that was doing it. She was the mastermind. She was the head of the pyramid of a ton of scammers. She was like the top one.
Right. Our question is, what did Sharif know? Not what did Jen know? You know, so it is different. It's actually her.
I think while we watch her and Heather in this icy situation, I think we're seeing her. This is the most clear example of gaslighting I think I have ever seen on a reality show.
Yeah.
Like it's popular clear. Term people like to use throw out gaslighting all the time. They were throwing it out with last season of The Bachelorette when it didn't really meet the like actual definition of gaslighting. You know, things can be shitty and not be gaslighting, but this was like, what you're seeing isn't, that's not real.
Yeah, like, Jen was basically saying to Heather like, what you are feeling and what is happening to you, oh no, you're wrong. Like that's, you are showing me evidence of something, but you are wrong. And the fact that she would turn it around on Heather, like, how dare you not believe in me? When it's like, we're talking about your actual words and your actual actions. It's not a rumor. We're talking about things you said about me and I have evidence about it. And she's acting like, oh, you're a bad friend for not trusting me. It makes me think about boyfriends who get caught cheating. And they're like, I can't believe you would go through my phone. You don't trust me? And it's like, well, clearly I had no reason to trust you because I'm seeing the evidence right here. And they try to turn it around on the other person for snooping. And it's like, I don't know. It just drives me nuts. And the thing about Heather is this situation, like you said, it tells us a lot about who Jen is as a person. But I also think it does tell us a lot about Heather. And I'm not trying to put blame on her because the blame ultimately is on Jen. But Heather had an entire season to watch back and see what kind of friend Jen is. And she's choosing to be friends with her. Like, it is her choice. And I know that they're on a show together. She has to move forward with her. But she saw it happen and she saw the audience's reaction. And she's still giving in. And I just cannot believe that. Like, I can't believe Heather would be doing this to herself. But I think it just shows that her confidence is not yet built to where it needs to be in order to her to demand what she needs from a friend.
You're totally right about what it says about Heather. I think she was standing up for herself a bit more than I thought she would. Like, she's like, how is this not you, Jen? And Jen's like, it's not me. And she's like, well, I think it is you. And I'm hurt. But my prediction is that she is going to, you know, give Jen a little bit of a tough time, right? And then allow her, you know, back in to being friends and try to move past everything. But that when Jen gets caught up in this criminal stuff, she's going to see Jen break down and be truly hurt and vulnerable. And she's going to be like, okay, I'm the kind of friend that doesn't leave when it gets hard. I'm going to show her how good I am. And I don't know. You can be close to someone and show them support, but still acknowledge that maybe they did something wrong.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how this will affect. Obviously, it looks like Lisa's running for the hills in the future. But I'm curious to see how Meredith feels about that, because like in Meredith's mind, I could see her being like, okay, so you were totally on team Jen to Lisa when she was doing horrible things to my family. But now that it might make you look bad because of like you wanting to look good in business and, you know, being associated with someone this way, then you're just going to dump her as a friend. Like, I'm just curious to see how Meredith feels about that, or if she'll just be happy that kind of get Lisa back. I think it'll be I think this season is just going to be so good. I'm already so obsessed.
I love shifting alliances in Housewives and like unlikely allies. So I'm quite excited to see like Meredith and Mary get closer and to see Lisa turn on Jen Shaw. Like, I'm just here for it. What I don't understand about the whole Jen Shaw versus Brooks thing is she keeps saying there'd be no issue if he didn't say derogatory things about my vagina. But he never said derogatory things. He just said, I saw your vagina and it made me uncomfortable. And that is both a fact and how he felt about it. And I don't see how any of that is derogatory.
Right. I feel like she was embarrassed because she looked ridiculous in that scene. And she was embarrassed by him like saying that and calling it out, because we wouldn't necessarily know what he had seen if they didn't talk about it. Although, to in his defense, he doesn't know how it's going to look to us. So if he thought that we saw her doing things where things would be blurred out, he might have felt like he wasn't bringing something up that wasn't going to be obvious to the audience. You know what I mean? Like, he was just stating a fact, and he didn't say it. As far as I know, he didn't say anything was gross or anything like mean about her, about anything.
And she had been kicking her legs in the air and shouting, Grindr, Grindr. And he had never opened up about being on Grindr, being a member of the LGBTQ community, of being interested in men, nothing like that. So if anything, she was being derogatory in that scene.
Yeah. And I think she at least owes him an apology for that, because maybe in her mind, well, I didn't out him. Maybe he was out to all of his friends. Maybe he was out to his family, but that doesn't mean that he was necessarily out to the world. And he hadn't talked about that on screen. And so for her to be liking those tweets or saying Grindr, which implies, you know, that they were talking about the app. I mean, I'm sure that he just was made uncomfortable by it. And so I do feel for him in that way. And I understand Meredith standing up for her son, just like she would if this was about Seth. You know what I mean? It would be the same thing if it was about her husband.
And thinking about Seth, like, it was only a few months back that, you know, Jen shared with everyone that Meredith had a boyfriend while her and Seth were separated. Like, my God, something that she was told in private that was clearly not supposed to come out, you know? And yeah. I think Meredith's willing to get over that. But then it's like Jen comes after another member of her family. And it's like, okay, you fucked with my marriage. Now you're fucking with my son. Like, come on now.
And, you know, I have a problem. I know that this is Housewives. And again, they have to talk about things. And I'm sure part of this is just like, this is the name of the game. But with Lisa just making Meredith, basically saying to Meredith, like, you have to give her a chance to hear her out. I just feel like, yes, she does technically, because it is Housewives. They're going to have to talk about it. They're going to have to film together. But as a friend, I would be so annoyed if my friend was telling me that I had to basically give someone another chance just because it would make them feel better about being friends with everybody. So I don't agree with Lisa in this circumstance at all. Like, I'm definitely on Meredith's side. In the Meredith Lisa drama.
Me too.
Right now.
I do enjoy Lisa as a housewife. Like, I love the lines that she gives us. I love her fashion. I think her family is very adorable. I am so interested just to see how things kind of move forward.
Yeah. And I'm actually on her side when it comes to Heather. Like, I don't agree with Heather in their feud. So it's weird in this show how things pop around depending on who it is that's actually arguing.
Yeah, totally. I at first was on Heather's side because I felt like Lisa was being really dismissive. And I think the reason Heather and Whitney were upset was because Lisa thought she would kind of be the queen of the show and she was choosing who was being on the show. And then she didn't think Heather or Whitney were good enough to be on the show or something like that. And I'd almost tried to get them fired. I don't know if this I made up or if I heard this somewhere, but that was my understanding. But with Heather being so angry towards Lisa at the reunion, I felt like she went overboard with her anger and was almost like placing it on Lisa, when I think she should have been more mad at Jen.
Right. She was taking it out on somebody else, I think, when she was probably most hurt by Jen. I heard that Lisa actually recommended Heather for the show. Like, she knew who she was and they ran in similar circles. And I think because Lisa did recommend Heather, Heather was probably like, oh, cool, we're going to be friends. Like, we know each other from so long ago. We can't believe we've known each other for 20 years. And in Lisa's mind, she's like, well, I don't really know her like that. I just think she has an interesting story because she's divorced. She's like basically not Mormon anymore. Like, I feel like Lisa knew that Heather would be good for the show, but that didn't mean that they were going to be friends. And I think that threw Heather off a lot.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Actually, that's the best explanation I've heard of. Yeah. It would make a lot more sense.
I think that's what I'm pretty sure that is what happened, because then they showed text messages from, like, I think it was right before filming or some event that they went to. And Lisa said something like, I can't wait to finally get together in person or something like that. And she showed the, you know, America and was like, see, this was the first time I thought Heather and I were actually getting together. I really didn't remember knowing her in college. I just have known who she was. And so to me, it kind of vindicated her in a way. But I get where Heather's insecurities come from. And I'm not trying to dismiss them. I just feel like she shouldn't take it out on Lisa just because she has her insecurities, you know?
Totally. So before we jump off, just have to touch down on Mary M. Cosby.
My fave.
I could not get over just the decor in the house. Like, every time we're in it, I am shocked by it. I am shocked by the amount of furniture and the type of art that looks like it costs a lot, but also looks awful, and none of it like flows together. I'm so confused by her, but also so entertained. What are your thoughts? I don't even know how to describe Mary.
I know. When I was taking notes this week, I was like, I just want to talk about Mary's decor, but I don't even know how to talk about it. Like, the one thing I will say is I'm glad she at least acknowledges that it's bad. Like, she's walking around being like, oh, I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. But something in me tells me that she's going to rip everything out and it's going to still look tacky. It's just going to be different than what it was before.
She seems like someone that loves to collect material things and can't seem to, like, she's the opposite of the Meredith and Lisa sort of aesthetic, which is like cold and barren, you know, like, yes. It's almost like they have no, it's almost like they don't live at their houses. But with her, it's just like when she said that every dog that she's had has gotten confused and peed on the green carpet, like...
And you have money, just switch it out. What are you doing, Mary?
It's so bizarre. And then I couldn't get over Robert Jr.'s room, where he had like those things that look like outdoor porch type swings, and they were just there, like the Gucci.
I know. I did like his room. I actually loved his fridge. I love those Smeg appliances, the bright red fridge in his room. I liked it for a teenager, though. Like, obviously that's not what I would want my entire house to look like. But I was just laughing that she was like in there being like, wait, so you just eat yogurt and chips? I'm like, he lives with you, right? Do you literally never see him for a meal? Like, I'm so confused by this.
The whole thing is so funny. Those little fridges, they remind me of Congress, because like each member of Congress or senator will have something that they tend to give out in their office. And so like if you go to visit the senator's office from Florida, they have like orange juice. Texas, it's like Dr. Pepper. You know, you go somewhere in Georgia, Atlanta, you know, area, they give Coke, you know. So I'm That's always so used cute. To seeing these little like, yeah. And they like always offer it when you come in and you're like, no, like I was here last week. No, like, but that's sort of, it looked like one of the, and the offices are all decorated very differently. And some are really kooky and weird and some are kind of normal. And it just reminds me of like a very eccentric member of Congress. Like the member of Congress from Alaska has like 38 animal skins on the wall.
Like bears and stuff?
There's a
like
grizzly moose. Bear, and I once was like, oh my God, that's huge. And he was like, he came up behind me, and he was like, you should have seen its mama.
Oh my gosh. I love that you have this like inside info. I actually have a friend. I have a friend, and I wouldn't talk about this on my own podcast, but there's no chance she's listening. But I have a friend whose husband, like, I don't know, he's not a hunter, but I guess like someone in his family was a hunter. So he's inherited like taxidermy stuff. They have a giant stuffed bear in their house, and it scares me every time I walk in the door. It's at the front door. Giant bear.
It's terrifying. I mean, I'm from Minnesota, so I've seen taxidermy, right? Like, you know, a lot of people will have like a moose head on a wall. Not a lot, but like probably more than your average American, right? But to see like all of those things, and he's just such an eccentric member of Congress, but it just, that room, I don't know why, it just reminded me of like an eccentric office. You're like, okay.
Everyone's like individual personality coming through.
Oh, if they ever open Capitol Hill again for meetings, and people are in D.C., you should go by, walk the halls of Congress, and I totally
will. It's ever public again. I've never even done a White House tour. Isn't that weird? I'm a Maryland native, and I've never been in the White House. Like, I've been to it, but I've never been inside.
Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, I haven't been in like 4.5 years, but. It's absolutely beautiful. I've also gotten to go to a party in the White House, which was incredible, like as a guest, which was like, I'm like, wait, I get to sit on this furniture? Like, I'm so confused. Like, this is something that's normally behind, you know, I forgot what they're called, but, you know, you can't go there normally.
That's so wild. I know. You have like such an interesting life.
Well, it's just if you live in D.C. and you know people that work in some of these places, like I had a really close friend who worked at the White House for like 6 years or more. And so, you know, we got to go accompany to her when the president was landing on Marine Lot 1 on Labor Day 1 year, where she had to work on Labor Day. And she's like, come, like, I'll get you in, you know. And once you've been a number of times, they like have all of your information so you can get in easier. The Eisenhower building has a bowling alley, so people that work for the White House or in the Eisenhower building bring their friends and family to do bowling there.
That's, you know, so cool.
You get to, like, you know, it's a cool thing of living in D.C.
Yeah. My mother-in-law used to work at the White House like over 40 years ago, but then she like switched careers and she became a teacher when she had kids. So like she doesn't work for the federal government anymore, but she tells me stories about what it was like to be a secretary like in the White House.
Oh my God.
Like so long ago, which is, it's honestly fascinating. That obviously things are very different now, but
I mean, I don't think it's that. I mean, I'm sure some of the work is different, but I don't think that it physically looks different.
Yeah, I would love to know if she's been back, like on a tour or anything, like if it would be weird for her to go back after 40 years of not being there.
That would be absolutely incredible. Yeah, my friend worked in the West Wing at one point, so we got a tour. I got to take my friends and parents and other stuff on a tour of the West Wing, and that was just, you get to like look at the Oval Office, and it's just really amazing.
My closest West Wing experience is watching Scandal.
So the thing that's so funny is that it's really small in there. Like you could be a top career official, you know, top person at the White House and have like almost no desk. It's like they all work on top of each other.
And like a cubicle.
And I think, and every time there's a new administration, they're like, oh, we need to like revamp the West Wing. It like needs new carpeting. It needs new this. It needs bigger office space. But then they always kick the can down the road. They're like, well, we're dealing with immigration. We're dealing with this. We're dealing with COVID. And no one ever does it. Like no one. So it just goes from administration to administration. And it's just, it's not like a beautiful workspace. It's very cramped.
Not glamorous. It's not as glamorous as you might expect, I guess.
So then when Trump first got, like when we found out he had COVID, I was like, oh, everyone has COVID. It's so small.
Right. You're like stuffed like sardines in there. Yes.
I was like, oh dear God, no.
Dude, I like blacked out that happened. I forgot that he had COVID. Oh my God. You're like bringing back like 2020 memories for me right now.
That was like one of those nights where I was just like, I'm staying up till 4 a.m. and seeing what happens.
Right.
just like, I feel like me and the entire country and the world are just kind of like holding their breath and wondering how things are going to play out.
Well, you really didn't know what to even say. You didn't know
what to expect.
Right. Like, because you're like, well, I'm not going to like wish anyone ill, but no, it's kind of like, yeah. I mean, dude, like, what did you think? Like, you know, but I also don't want to make light of it because it's like, so many people actually lost their lives. So I would never want to be like, that's what you get. But you know what I mean? Like, it was just so weird.
It was completely uncharted territory. It's like, what happens now? And like, who else is going to get sick? And how are they going to like contact trace? Like, what's happening? Like, I just was kind of like, what's next? You know?
I was like, is this going to be like a designated survivor situation where like only one person has like not like been in contact with the president and only one person can be in charge because everyone's quarantined? Like, yeah. Wow.
That's exactly where my mind went. That's exactly where my mind went. I was like, who, like, let's hope he wasn't around Pence. Like, let's hope Pence is like healthy right now.
Right.
You know? Okay. If not him, then who's, you know, like you start going through the chain of command, like who's next in line?
Well, we've seen how COVID spreads through the housewives. Like New York had to shut down for like 2 months.
They shut down for so long. I think, you know, Sonia was quite ill. And then what's interesting on Beverly Hills is so Kathy, Kyle, and Dorit got it, but we only really got filming from Kyle because she was willing to be like film herself.
Right.
While she was sick, but we did not see Kathy at all. And I know people have said, oh, the only event she didn't go to all season was Garcelle's event. But she says that there was something due to COVID, which is why she couldn't go. And I'm wondering, like, she is older than the other two women, and maybe she had a harder time, you know, with COVID. And then even if she recovered, if she had a lingering cough or a fever that came up again, because what we've all learned is COVID isn't entirely linear where you like get sick and then you get better.
Right.
It's like waves. So I wonder if she was on one of those and they're like, you can't film right now.
Right. If she wasn't symptom free yet. But I did find it interesting that they didn't mention why she wasn't going to be at that dinner in the film of what we saw. Like, Kyle wasn't like, oh, I'm sorry, Garcelle, like Kathy, you know, because she's still, she's not off of quarantine. Like they didn't even mention COVID or quarantine or like she has a cough or they didn't say they just said like she's not going to be able to make it. And I was like, oh, I wonder if Kathy wasn't planning on like sharing that she actually had COVID. Like, why would they make it seem kind of like up in the air? Like Garcelle had no idea why Kathy wasn't there, which is why we all were just left assuming that she just blew it off.
Right.
You know, and she is a friend like of, that. So she might not like come to everything, but yeah. Cause I thought it was kind of rude. I was like, oh, she didn't even tell her like herself that she wasn't going to make it. But if it was COVID related or if she was sick, I can understand her being like, can you let Garcelle know I'm not going to make it? I'll talk to her later. Like that makes perfect sense to me, but we just had no idea what it was. I thought she just blew her off.
I think also she views it not as like, oh, Garcelle's hosting an event. It's like, I'm supposed to show up to my job to film.
Right.
And my employer is telling me I can't go.
Right.
So like, it's not like, oh, I need to tell all the other people. It's like, I'm sure they've been told because we all work for the same people and they all talk to each other. You know,
Did she even get invited by Garcelle or was she put on like, was it put on a list for filming? Like, you know, if it wasn't an invitation to a dinner like you typically would from a friend, then she may not have thought about extending that. But I don't know. I mean, you know, that's
I'm not
questions
like
that we have.
Trying to defend Kathy or anything, because maybe she completely blew it off. But I feel like sometimes people like to pick at things that I'm like, I don't know if that's exactly how it was.
But I can also see Kathy not having the most like social. Like, I understand that she probably has her like manners that she thinks she needs to uphold in certain parts of society. But I also feel like she's not the most aware of like being rude, like, or you know what I mean? Like what might offend people. She's just like, oh, you guys are out. Oh, go find me chia seeds in a straw. I need it. Like, you know, she seems like she's not very like, I wouldn't be that surprised to find out that she blew off Garcelle and didn't like apologize or even like explain herself, because to me, she just doesn't seem like the most like aware of how she might be coming off to people.
Yeah, she's pretty aloof in general. Yeah. And not in a mean way necessarily, but that doesn't mean that she's not aloof, right? She's an interesting one. I really enjoyed, so we'll just dive into Beverly Hills. I really enjoyed her trying to coordinate this trip and just the whole, like, this is Kathy's trip, you know, and then they show her, you know, saying that she's so good at organizing things for vacations and stuff like that. And then it's like an hour earlier, she's like, could you make a picnic on the beach?
Yeah, she does not know how to do anything for herself. I started to panic when I was watching it, because while I am not helpless in the same way, because I don't have like a staff of people, I am not a Hilton. I was cringing a little bit at her. Like, I just could see myself in the future not knowing how to do things for myself, because you just get so used to having other people, you know, do things for you. Like, I still call my parents for help about stuff that, and I'm like, I'm a whole ass 32-year-old woman. Like, when am I going to grow up? And I heard Kyle say, like, oh, my parents, they always just kind of babied Kathy. And I'm like, shit, did that happen to me? I hope it didn't happen to me, because I do sometimes feel like I don't know how to do anything for myself. I don't know. It's a crisis, Mandy.
I don't think you're like that.
I think sometimes. I don't know.
Well, especially when, you know, you're pregnant right now, and when you're going through something for the first time and you're also like contemplating, like, I'm about to be a parent, you start, I think, feeling like, oh, I'm not old enough for this, or I don't know enough, you know?
Right. But yeah, makes sense.
But I think everyone feels that way, right? We all are kind of like faking being adults. Like, none of us really know what we're doing.
Right. Yeah. Like, I imagine my mom had 3 kids before she was 24. And like, when I think back, when she was my age, I was like in high school and she was like raising a teenager and stuff. And I'm like, dude, she must have had her shit together, but she probably was panicking too. So it's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. I'm not Kathy Hilton.
I know. My mom, I remember her telling me when I went to my first job and I was 22 and I had to get a security clearance for it. And I was like, I can't believe they were like trusting me. Like, I'm a mess. Like, you know, I'm going out every night. I am like wild, you know, like these people are just like, how do they think I'm old enough and like more mature enough to hold down this job?
Right.
And my mom was like, you never stop feeling like that.
Oh, yeah.
She told me, she was like, I never, like, it's like, you're letting me take this kid home. Oh, my God. Like, you know, I'm now in charge of this thing. Like, I can't believe they, like, you know, she's like, I remember being like, I still can't believe they let me, like, drive by myself.
Right.
Wait, you still feel like you're 16 and just got your license? Like, that's right. A little worrisome.
I will say, though, that, like, I do feel like I will never be as out of touch as Kathy Hilton calling, like, her assistant or something, like, the lady, because she couldn't think of her name. And I'm like, dude, Kathy, all you have to do is say, oh, my assistant, you know, like, just say, oh, the woman at my, the woman who packed my bags, or I don't know, just the way that she was like, you know, the lady who works for me. I was like, oh my gosh, Kathy, like, how can you not know somebody's name and then not even know the correct way to like describe someone if you aren't sure of their name, to not look so bad on TV?
I couldn't believe that she forgot her purse with her, like, everything, like her wallet, her phone. I mean, how does she have keys? You usually have to have keys to your car for the car to start.
Yeah, you definitely have.
Yeah. I usually use my phone for navigation. It's like, how did she get to Kyle's? Like, how did she know how to get there?
I know. And I didn't realize how far she had gotten. Like, at first I thought she was like in the driveway and I was like, why doesn't she just go back inside? Like, grab her bag. Like, I'm so confused. And then I like rewound, cause I realized I was confused. I must've been like looking away for a second. I was not as confused as Kathy. Obviously she was more confused than me, but, and then just the fact that she like needed Kyle to help her in that situation, to just get out of that situation. And Kyle doesn't know anything either. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I just found that to be really funny to see that dynamic. And like, now I feel like I'm understanding Kyle a little bit more, where it's like, she's clearly had to be more of the adult in her 3-sister relationship with Kim and everything Kim's gone through. And now seeing how Kathy is. I feel like I'm starting to get to know Kyle better.
Me too.
Like on a deeper level. And I'm not a huge Kyle fan usually. So
I feel like I'm starting to like her a lot more. And watching back, I feel like going into earlier seasons, I do really like her. I feel for her with what, you know, her mom died and she's kind of the oldest in her family now. Like her sister, she can't really rely on much. And she's got Mauricio and then she's got four daughters. And
I know.
I mean, I don't know what that must feel like to kind of be the next in line and having to feel the weight of that.
Yeah. And I definitely disagree with some of the things that she does to other people on the cast, but I do feel like I have a softer spot for her now. That doesn't mean I agree with her all the time. And I feel like she's been like, I haven't really liked the way that she's been treating some of the other people this season with, I don't know. I feel like she throws people under the bus a lot, but I do think that she is not malicious. Like, I don't think that she is a bad person. I just feel like she herself sometimes does not want to be backed into a corner, and she might inadvertently kind of throw people under the bus because she kind of feels like she's going to get caught. She doesn't want to be the bad person. You know what I mean?
I think she's just very aware that they're filming a TV show, and she's gotten so used to it and the mechanics of it and the things that you say and do to make good TV that sometimes she like has lost touch with how people who aren't on a show move like in their groups of friends.
Right.
You know, so it's like we're watching her, but it's so ingrained in who she is now. She's been doing this for 10 years.
Right.
So saying, well, how could we get together and you guys aren't talking? And that's so awkward. And how do we move past this? Is she's almost acting too much like a producer. And I wish she would just be herself and stop be thinking about how this is going to get put together into a show.
Right. And I do feel like her and Dorit and Rinna, they have this like cop out where if they just don't like someone or they don't like the way someone's acting, they have this, oh, you need to be honest, you know, whole like speech prepared. And they know that all they have to do is on camera say that someone's not being honest and not being straightforward. And it's kind of like, I just find it to be BS, honestly, because I feel like Garcelle has been nothing but honest about her feelings this entire time. Last season and this season, she stood up for people when they should have, you know, when everyone was talking about them, like with Denise and everything. She told Rinna very much how she felt about her last season. And even going into this season, she was upfront with Kyle at the beginning of the season about how she was offended at the reunion and why that upset her. I feel like she's been nothing but honest. And so for Kyle and Rinna and Dorit to be like, Garcelle's just not being honest, I'm like, about what? I don't get it. I feel like she's the most upfront out of all of you.
I 100% agree. And it's also weird to me that you're filming with someone who this is your like second year filming with them. And they're saying they don't feel like they're accepted by the group. Why wouldn't you have a one-on-one chat, like off camera? Like, why wouldn't you just chat about that? And
how do you not feel bad when someone says, I'm feeling excluded from this group? How do you not feel bad and think, oh, I need to reach out to them and make sure that they feel included? And then it was, I don't remember. I feel bad. I don't remember who said it, but one of them was like, well, maybe you need to try harder. Who said that?
That was Rinna.
That was Rinna. Well, yeah, of course it was. She's the worst. But that really pissed me off because I was like, I feel like she is trying and she's telling you how she feels.
I think because she said it without tears, it's almost like they didn't believe it.
Yeah,
that was what was so weird to me. And I mean, I do think it was helpful for her to contextualize why she felt that she wasn't part of the group and also how she's felt being the only Black woman in a very white space and how that's been kind of a consistent throughout her life. And so she's always working harder to fit in. Like, I don't think the women ever take time to not like put themselves in her shoes, but be like, I wonder what it must feel like to be the only in this group, right? Or to, right. like, it's almost like they it didn't strike them. She's like, have you ever walked into a room and felt, like, what did she say? That you're the different, only one who's different.
Yeah.
And Kathy's like, yeah. She's like, try it your whole life.
Yeah.
And I don't think they were able to do that mental exercise for some reason until that moment, until they saw the tears. And then they're like, you know, Kathy's like, well, I'm glad you're saying this. But it's, to me, it felt sad that she had to get to that point. Like, I believe that Garcelle felt better after just coming out and saying it. And also the women were like, oh, like, we didn't get it. But I right. feel like this is just so common for women of color and Black women in particular to say the same thing over and over and over again. And people don't believe it until they, like, see it with their own eyes. You know?
Yeah. And she may have been putting up some sort of guard up until this point to not show her emotions and to not let it get to her, to not let these people be breaking her down. And she might have, like, hit her breaking point. And it's like, I just feel like I'm glad that they heard her. And it seems like it was a chance for them to, like, to hear her and to listen to her. But I just wonder why it took them so long when it seems like she's been saying this for a while now. Like, she's been saying, I feel left out. She said it in Tahoe too, that she was feeling like, it's all of them over there, and here I am over here. Not just me. It was like her, Crystal, and Sutton. She felt like we're like a little bit more of an outcast. And I mean, this group is very cliquey too. So I find it to be hard for them to understand why someone would feel left out when they are notoriously cliquey. Like, there are some casts that aren't like that, but they have, like, a name for their group of friends. They call them the Fox Force Five or whatever, you know? And at this point, Sutton wasn't a full-time cast member, right? So,
right.
So
Garcelle really is on her right. own.
She really felt on her own.
I was a little bit shocked that when she said, like, have you ever, you know, felt like you walked in a room and you were the only one that was different and that, you know, we didn't see Crystal say anything. But I also think that Crystal, if, you know, you listen to that interview that Taria did with her, also maybe harbored some, not like resentment for Garcelle, but disappointment in Garcelle for mm-hmm. not standing up for her during what was going on with her and Sutton.
Right. No, and I completely understand. I see both of them feeling like that. Like, it was disappointing to me that Garcelle did not stand up for Crystal in the situation with Sutton, because I felt like, While Garcelle and Sutton had a good relationship and she maybe was, like, looking out for her friend in a way, like, it was just so clear to me that Crystal was very upset. And I feel like the kind of person who we've seen Garcelle to be, I would have thought that she would have at least wanted to acknowledge that and help her through that. And we didn't see any of that. So I can understand then Crystal being like, well, I don't really know if I want to,
like, go to bat for you.
Go to bat for you.
Yeah.
But also, I've heard Crystal say that she didn't herself feel left out in that group. Like, she didn't actually feel similarly to Garcelle. But I would think that she would at least know what that feeling is like in yes. other situations.
That is the heart.
Right. But I also don't want to say, like, Crystal, what's wrong with you? It's up to you to always speak out. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, it's up to the rest of them to hear Garcelle the first time she says it and not make her say it over and over again, not necessarily up to Crystal. But hopefully Garcelle and Crystal, like, after the season at the reunion, can talk about some of these things, because I feel like both of them are so valuable to the cast. I really like both of them, and I can see why they may be hurt by each other. But in the end, the problem is the rest of them. Like, they're the ones who have been hurting everybody.
Yeah,
so.
I think that they can totally move past it, I would hope.
Yeah.
The one thing, I'm not trying to, like, make excuses for Garcelle, but she did not witness the, you know, racial conversation that Sutton and Crystal had, where Sutton just completely shut down any conversation with Crystal and, like,
yeah,
stopped her from speaking. No one was witness to that besides Kyle. So I think sometimes even if Crystal said, oh, she said she doesn't see color or she whatever, it's different watching how that conversation played out. If you know what I mean? Like watching it back. So I'm sure Garcelle is like, oh, that wasn't cool, Sutton.
And especially just thinking, like, it blows my mind because when we think about the whole reason this conversation came up, it's because Kyle was explaining that her and Garcelle had a great talk, and Garcelle explained her point of view. And Kyle was like, I had never thought about this before, but now I really get it. And it was like in that conversation that Sutton was like, I don't want to talk about this. I want no part of it. So if I were Garcelle, I would be like, wait a second, like, you're shutting down a conversation that actually had a good, like, it wasn't going anywhere bad. So right. It was weird. Like, it was almost like Sutton was like unintentional or maybe intentionally like silencing Garcelle's words from being echoed, because Kyle was repeating what Garcelle said in a way that was supporting Garcelle. At that moment, Kyle was like, I totally get where Garcelle's coming from. And Sutton like trying to shut it down. And it's like, wait, but that's your friend that you're defending? I still can't get over that. As much as the season has taken a turn and Sutton has proven herself to be like, I get with the whole Erica stuff, I agree with Sutton in a lot of ways, but it's like, I'm still not over what Sutton did at the beginning of the season to Crystal. Like, I'm not going to get over that.
Yeah. I definitely want to see them talk about that at the reunion for sure. It's the only thing I can think of is that Sutton was really, I think she drinks a lot. I mean, not as an excuse, but I think she drinks more than we're let on. Because she's like, do you remember those times where she put vodka in the champagne?
Yeah, and that's like intense.
That's not just intense. That's like, okay, maybe there's an issue. Like, I'm not saying she's like alcoholic or whatever, but I think she drinks heavily in situations where she is stressed. And
it might make sense why she has cried a lot too, because remember last season when she was like crying at the fashion show? Do you remember that? Yeah, when she was crying out of nowhere?
I think
if she was drunk, that would make sense.
I think she's drunk a lot. And that's just my own personal like wondering what's going on. But also what, like, Crystal said, if whatever word she said like triggered something in Sutton, and she like just shut down and she tried to shut the conversation down with her, and she shouldn't have done that. But I also can see if she was really drunk and she like heard it differently than what it was. Like, I feel like she reacts in an outsized way sometimes to like lots of different things that come her way.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think Sutton is someone who is uncomfortable talking about those issues. Like, she never seemed to be comfortable discussing the issue of race. And I know that last year when she made the comment on the show, like the joking comment about her hair and how she was like, oh, I'm from the South. Yeah. I have a, you know, oh, I have a kitchen. Yes. I know all about that. And then someone, Sasha from the Bravo Breakdown had explained that was just not from her experience. She did not appreciate hearing that from Sutton, because she's like, you don't know what it's like to actually be Black and have hair like mine. And Sutton was not willing to hear that from her. Like, she didn't want any part of that discussion. And that kind of tells me a lot about Sutton.
Yeah, I think I'm hoping we'll see more from her at the reunion about these topics, because when she did apologize, which was on Instagram, but it sounds like she called Crystal as well, and I don't know if it's like they're all over it, but her apology did seem to be like, I effed up and I'm owning it and I'm sorry.
Good.
Rather than, I don't know, a lot of, and maybe it's just, I don't know, maybe it's like I have a soft spot for things, like there's things I like about her and there's things I am very deeply disturbed by about her, you know?
Well, yeah, not everybody's perfect, and mostly on these Housewives shows. That's right. Why I do. It is hard when you want to talk about a specific situation and I'm like, well, in this situation, I get this person, but I really don't like them. Like, you know, it's really hard to be talking about these shows, because it does, you know, like in the big context of things, there's just like different ways to look at it. You can look at it big picture, or you can analyze like scene by scene. I'm like, well, in this scene, I can see where someone is coming from, but overall, I don't agree with them about who, like so many big picture items. And so it is hard. It's hard as a podcaster to like navigate it.
I love her and Garcelle's friendship. Like Garcelle pushing her in the wheelchair this episode was so funny, like, and sweet to me.
Well, and because we have seen Garcelle literally in tears talking about how she feels left out in this group, and it's nice that Sutton is there and can be that person for her when she feels like she needs somebody. And so for that, I'm thankful for her, because if she can make Garcelle feel comfortable in a group that she doesn't feel that comfortable in, then that's great. You know what I mean? Like that is great. Hopefully her and Crystal can move forward and be on the same page in the future as well, because I don't want Sutton's, you know, presence to then be a negative feeling for Crystal. Like it might be helping Garcelle feel comfortable, but then making Crystal uncomfortable. And it's like,
right.
You don't like
that's so, what I'm having a hard time with.
Right.
You know, cause I really, really, really like Garcelle. And so it's almost like anyone that she gets along with, I also find myself liking.
Yeah.
So
I get that. No, I totally get that. That's a hard place to be in.
I also think maybe that's why I like Kyle more than I've liked her in the past, and why I like Sutton more, and because it's all people that Garcelle seems to have some sort of friendship with.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it weren't for Dorit, Kyle and Garcelle would be in a really good place right now. I mean, I think they're in an okay place. I do, but especially at the beginning of the season, I really feel like that Kyle was really listening to her and they were able to like move forward. But now Dorit, I liked Dorit for like one season. I still like her, but I'm pissed at her. We're in a fight.
I know. She's so obnoxious. I love PK though. I've loved him since they landed on that boat in a helicopter and he cried when he saw his family. I turned on him at that exact moment. And I've never looked back.
People are so hot for PK. It's so funny.
I just find him extremely entertaining.
Yeah, he's a good house husband to have around. Like he's like at the Jersey level of like getting in the mix and like giving his opinion. And so he's entertaining. And I will say I love Dorit's clothes. Like I know she can be a little like label, like, you know, obsessed, but if I had money like that, I would probably be head to toe Louis Vuitton all the time. So it's fine. it's fine by me.
Baby Spice hair.
I know. It was cute.
So who we haven't talked about much is Erica. You know, so let's go into the shit that she has said this episode that does not add up. So in the beginning, she said something, you know, when they were all first on the beach at the picnic at La Jolla Cove, she said allegedly when they were asking her, well, like, oh, he was unconscious for 12 hours. She's like, allegedly. Dorit hit the nail on the head in that it's not that she's lying. It's that she's not telling the whole truth and she's omitting things. And it's lying by omission is part of what she does. And so this is what and maybe no one like wants to get into the specifics with her, but how would you tell a doctor not to do a surgery on an ankle? Like to put a pin in is I'm like such a dork, but like that's an orthopedic procedure. You would need an orthopedic surgeon. It's not necessarily something that would happen when you're in an ER. They would like set the ankle and then they would send you home and consult with the surgeon, and the surgery would happen days or weeks later.
Right. So it would be a scheduled thing.
It's not an emergency surgery that's done. And also who turns down a surgery if there was a traumatic brain injury, that's something that can be diagnosed via CT scan of the head, and right, they would make the determination not to operate. Like that's not a call that Erica is like, oh, no, 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 doctors, you don't understand. You can't put him under anesthesia because of these reasons. Like, they know when people can go under anesthesia and when they can't.
Right.
that makes sense.
I know.
I'm like, that. Those are the types of things where I'm like, when I know something like that, I'm like, no, this doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. And I think that Sutton's point when she said, oh, she's lied about this stuff before, I think her whole point is like, Erica's been willing to leave out information or lie about a story before. So what makes you think that her version of the story today is not going to change? And I think that's what Sutton was saying to Kyle, is like, how every time we sit down with her and hear a story, how do we know that she's like now being 100% honest? We don't, because it's changed since before. And that's like, the stories keep getting like more and more wild. And then what I'm hearing, word on the street, as Giselle likes to say, is that he has like a lot of friends in the police department. And so even if the police corroborated. I literally just like was confusing the word cooperate and corroborate and made it into one word. And I was like, now I sound really dumb. Even if they were to corroborate his story, you don't even know if it's true because he has friends in the police department. So if they say, oh yes, his house was burglarized. Oh yes, there was an accident from his stepson. Like, we don't really know. Someone could be lying. And, well, and that's the thing. He's so powerful.
Her son's also in the police department too.
Right. Yeah, he is too. Right. So...
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And then when she says she found out that Tom, you know, is going into a conservatorship and his brother is going to be the conservator and then they're going to put him in a home, and that she read about this the night before, does that mean that she got a heads up before an article came out?
Well, she said she read the article the night before, but I think they seemed surprised because they were like, they assumed that she hadn't seen it yet. So yeah, maybe they sent her the article and was like, here's what we're going to publish in the morning.
But she told Sutton that she doesn't get a heads up when articles are written about her.
Right. Of course.
Which isn't true, because if they want a quote from you, they send you things about the article, or you know what's coming.
Oh, I'm sure that they would want, I mean, they want to be able to at least say Erica declined comment. Right. You know what, like, I mean? Like, even if they don't.
Journalist that Paige sex.
But like, I mean, she just, it's just, you cannot believe her. You can't believe her. And I understand that there's certain things that she might not be able to talk about in terms of like legal whatever, but it's just, the whole thing pisses me off because of last season with them hounding Denise for everything and being like, I just can't trust her because she's not telling us the truth about who she's sleeping with, which is bullshit, by the way. But like this season, when it has to do with literally stealing money, you're willing to like look past things. And I'm really just thinking more about Lisa Rinna here, but it just, the whole thing is gross to me. I don't know.
The whole be honest to Garcelle, like, when, what's their level of honesty when they hear this bullshit and they're acting like they don't have questions? Come on. They're the ones that aren't being honest because they have questions too, just like any person would hearing these sets of facts that don't add up.
Yeah. And then when Erica talks a lot, they're like, oh, well, she's really being open about what's going on. But it's like, I don't know. I feel like someone talking a lot and telling a lot of stories is not them being honest. It's just them bullshitting more. And I've heard that she was very open at the reunion. But again, does that mean she comes out and says, oh, I've been living a lie and I actually knew all of this stuff, or here's what I do know, you know, like, I just don't know. I don't know. And I feel like everything is just getting so confusing for her, because first it was like, oh, he's been, you know, in a mental decline for the last 3 years. Then it was like, well, I only knew about the cheating recently. So it's like, oh, you found out about his cheating while he's in a like altered mental state. Like, I don't know. It's too much.
I believe there are elements of truth to everything she says. I do.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't believe that she knew the mastermind kind of stuff he was doing, stealing from clients and using money to pay off, you know, people and that kind of thing. I don't think she knew that stuff. The thing is, she found out about it and she found out that the money was gone and then she cut and run.
Right.
And so that tells me that, like, one, she's trying to protect herself, mm-hmm. and two, she's not sticking with the man in mental decline, as she's kind of like, where is his family? It's like, what
about you?
You were his family, and where were you? You know?
Right.
It's like they don't want the public scrutiny. They don't want the strain. Maybe they don't have the best relationship with him because you're his third wife and they've seen him go through marriages before and he married you without telling them and without a prenup. That would cause a strained relationship between me and my father, who also recently got married. If my father married Joyce and didn't tell me about it on a whim and didn't have a prenup, I would be effing livid.
Yeah, that's so disrespectful.
For so many reasons. Like, I think open and not, you know, and I love my stepmom. I think she's amazing. But I think it's really important to have legal protections for everyone, depending on what happens when someone passes. Like, who gets what stuff? Like, I don't want to fight that out in court. I want it to be very clear. You know?
Right.
And I never want to get in a situation where any of us are in a bad position. You know?
Yeah.
It's just better to talk about it in advance. Like,
absolutely.
You know? And if you don't have a parent that can talk to you about these things, then, like, maybe you don't have the best relationship with them.
It's too much. It's too much. It's like, it's crazy that she doesn't understand where they would be coming from, like, in this situation.
Like, you've been married to him for now 21, 22 years. You're the one that was around. You're the one that took all the money and spent it. And now you're the one that's cutting and running. You're blaming everyone else. Ugh. So we've gone through Salt Lake and Beverly Hills, but just want to touch very briefly on Potomac. So I have not been following social media as closely this week as I have in weeks past. Do you know what's going on with the crusty foot pics and Mia versus Candace? Because, like, I don't know what's happening.
So all I know is that Candace and Mia are feuding online. I don't know when it started in the season. Cause, like, at this point, I don't really see them having, like, issues yet, but I guess it will be coming. And from what I know is that Candace called Mia Bigfoot, but, like, if you're not really fighting with someone, I can see, like, that being blown over easily. But then Mia posted pictures of Candace's feet and she was like, oh, you want to talk about my feet? Look at your crusty feet. This was a really old picture. This was like a picture from like 2019. And in the screenshot that she posted, because it was like a screenshot from Instagram, somebody noticed that the picture in the bottom right wasn't Mia's picture. Like, someone had sent Mia the photo that was like, look at Candace's crusty feet. And it turns out that the sleuths found out it was someone named Cookie, I think is her name, who was who's friends with Monique. So it was like Monique's friend.
Oh,
like doing it. Yeah.
Shady. Monique's right. People and just got to stay out of this.
And Monique was commenting on the post. And then someone was like, stay out of it, like, mind your own business. And she was like, well, I was tagged in this, so I'm just laughing about it, like, commenting. And then people realized that it was the picture was up from her friend. And they were like, oh my God, Chelsea Ono Bravo said it. She was like, Monique gives me, like, girl who was popular in high school and, like, says that she hates this town and is over it, but, like, can't stop talking about the drama. And, like, that is exactly what it is.
Oh, Monique, like, acted like she was better than the show, but she was obsessed with the show.
Absolutely.
And she just, ugh. Oh, Monique. Okay, that's hilarious because I didn't understand the stuff. I just, like, saw it in passing and was like, I need to ask Amanda about these crusty feet.
I'm just glad that it's something petty. Like, I'm glad to have this fight that's not so heavy when we have so much heavy shit going on Bravo.
I find Potomac so light and so fun. Like, the drama with the cars not showing up for the video shoot was, like, so funny. It's like the only props that they had were these fancy cars. And then I'm thinking, well, like, your friends drove pretty nice cars. Could you just, like, use those cars? And that's exactly what they did.
They were smart. And I still want to know how that happened, because Chris was very adamant, like, the only day the car people can do is Friday. So it's like, that's why they picked that date. So I still want to know what happened. And she said somewhere publicly, she was like, it wasn't actually Chris's fault. It was someone else's fault. And he just didn't know, like, the person whose fault it was, like, didn't inform him that they weren't coming. So I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, the whole thing was crazy. And then her mom, Dorothy, is just talking shit the entire time. And Mia is, like, starting it. She's asking, like, does Chris get a salary from this? Like, the whole thing was just, I find it funny. I find Dorothy's antics very amusing because, I don't know, it's like, that's just who she is.
I know. And then I found it to be really funny. Like, Karen obviously thought that Dorothy didn't know that they were on the microphone. She's like, oh, we'll talk about this later. And then Dorothy's like, oh, no, I'm talking about it right now.
Like, she's like, no, care. I know I'm mic'd.
I'm enjoying it. I don't want the season to end.
I also think that Candace, like, likes that Dorothy brings that drama because it keeps, like, things moving for the show. And she's like, okay, my mom is nuts, but she's my kind of nuts, you know? She's whatever. So
that's something that Donnie said. I was talking to him about the show, and he was like, I like to think that Candace kind of, like, it's not that her mom's faking it for a storyline, but it's like Candace knows how her mom's going to be. And it's like, well, if this is going to help me in my Housewives show, then go right ahead, mom. Come on film and act horrible.
I totally think that's the case. I don't think Dorothy is, like, playing it up for the cameras. I think she's always been this way. A woman that will smack her child with a purse in the face, like, she just gives no fucks, right?
Yeah. And so, then defend herself at the reunion for it.
And she's like, you walked into my room. I'm like, this is, like, child abuse. Like,
yeah, it's horrible.
This is not funny. Oh my gosh. So, and then I do feel like I am getting some of the more deeper, darker stuff, like, from Mia that really is compelling, where she talks about how her mom focuses more of her energy on Mia's siblings, including her sister that is raising kids alone and isn't really giving time to her. And I feel like that is something, like, so many of my friends are going through, and, like,
yeah,
other families go through, and maybe I'll go through it soon when my brother and sister-in-law have a baby, where, like, the parents focus so much on one set of grandkids, or, oh, this child needs me more. And they forget the other child that, like, is doing fine, but still kind of needs their mom.
I totally feel that. That's kind of how, not in my immediate family, but my extended family is, where it's like, you would talk, my grandma's no longer with us, but, like, I would talk to my grandma and she would just be going on and on talking about how bad she feels for all of these people that are in shitty situations, talking about, like, my cousins and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, well, I feel bad for the one who has her shit together and has to bail everybody out of jail and stuff. That's who I feel bad for. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like sometimes it depends on what your family is used to. Of course, there are some families who it's like, if you can't do anything right, you don't get any recognition. But then there are some families, I feel like, you know, where it's the opposite, where it's like, to get any attention, you have to be a mess. And sadly, that's how Mia feels. And it's not fun to watch, you know, like, I mean, it's nice to learn about her, but it is, like, hard to see someone struggling like that. I like that she's being really open in her first season. Like, I can't even imagine her not being on the show, honestly. Like, she just feels like part of the cast now.
I do think she is really good for the show. I also do feel like she's going after Candace because she's like, oh, I'm going to fill that Monique slot. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go after Candace. I'm going to get Monique's fans after Candace. And I don't know. It just seems like low-hanging fruit to go after Candace because she is such a mess on Twitter and she doesn't hold back, that I don't know, it doesn't feel as authentic, but maybe we have yet to see where they really have a falling out.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll have to see how it all plays out. If it is just her kind of vibing off of the audience and who is like the fan favorite, then like that's kind of annoying. But she'll learn, I think, over time that you can't just align yourself with who you think is like liked by the audience, because we'll eventually see through it. That's
totally 100%. Well, thank you so much, Amanda, for just breaking this all down. And I am so looking forward to talking to you more about Vanderpump Rules once it starts this coming week. Tell everyone where they can find you, where they can listen to your podcast, and any other places we should be looking for you.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun. You can find me on Instagram at It's All Happening X. My podcast is called It's All Happening with Amanda. It is on Apple, Spotify. I've been talking about like Potomac. I used to cover Big Brother on there, but now I've switched my Big Brother content over to the Big Brother Breakfast Club. So you can check out that podcast. It's All Happening is also on Patreon, where I am covering Salt Lake City exclusively. So if you want to hear more of my Salt Lake City thoughts, then check out my Patreon. My link is in my Instagram bio.
Yay. And I'll put all the links in the show notes.
Thank you. You're the best.
Yeah. Well, okay. We will be chatting very soon. So guys, you know, get ready. We're gonna go into Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
I'm not sure how it's gonna go, but I am prepared.
Can't wait. And then you'll be on It's All Happening soon. We're gonna talk Potomac and Beverly Hills on there. So can't wait.
Yay.
Very excited.